Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide seamless mortgage experience. How is everybody doing? Thanks so much for joining us. I'm excited to be back after yesterday's day off.
All right.
We got a good show coming up for you. How about five-time NBA All-Star Al Horford? The Boston Celtics are red hot, winners of five straight. We'll talk Celtics in the East and Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis and all of that with Al Horford coming up here next hour on the show. Did the NFL screw us out of a better Super Bowl? Something I've been thinking about over the last 48 hours. What is the real story behind Todd Gurley? He did not speak to reporters yesterday in their exit interviews. Are the Eagles screwing Nick Foles by franchising him? Major League Baseball, in my mind, has one of the best rules changes that we have seen in any sport in 20 years. I am so in on this proposal. We will discuss a little bit later on in the show. And tomorrow is a momentous day here on the DA Show. Momentous! There are times in life where you remember where you were when. Man on the moon. Moon landing. You remember where you were when. And tomorrow is going to be that. Here on the DA Show. We will have Alliance Signing Day. Today is High School Football National Signing Day. And so high school recruits signing with their college of choice. Tomorrow we will do the same thing. Myself, Mraz, Pete the Body, Andrew Bogish. We will have the brand new Alliance of American Football hats displayed out in front of us. And we will be choosing our team to root for and follow for this season. The brand new Spring Football League, which debuts this upcoming weekend. Some of the coaches in this league, legit. Steve Spurrier's in this league. Mike Singletary's in this league. Mike Martz is in this league. Rick Neuheisel's in this league. Dennis Erickson is in this league. Mike Vick is an OC. Trent Richardson is a starting running back. Blake Sims and Trevor Knight are quarterbacks. Aaron Murray. Christian Hackenberg. Zach Mettenberger. There is a lot to like. A lot to like. These rosters are so stacked. Scott Tolzien got cut. Get him out. Think about the depth here. Scott Tolzien has a roster spot in the NFL every year for 15 years. Can't make the Alliance. So this is big news, guys. And tomorrow, Alliance signing day here on the DA Show. Very exciting. But we'll preview that a little bit later on in the show. We'll preview that because I came across a little nugget as I've been doing heavy Alliance research that I have to read this for you right now. I really do, just because I am just tickled with this quote. Ben Kercheval covers football in general for CBSSports.com. And he wrote an Alliance preview, okay? A power rankings. Yes, we have a power rankings before they even play a game. We have a power rankings. Imagine in 1959 having an AFL power rankings before anybody took the field. It would be hysterical. And Kercheval writes, one thing to understand about these teams is just how close they are to being NFL caliber. The hyperbole train is coming through. Next up, the DA Show. Nobody understands just how close to the NFL this really is. It's great. It's just great. Everything about it's great. Everything about renegade startup leagues is great. Everything. And so we're all in around here. So anyways, last night, big NBA Woj bomb as Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, breaks overnight that the 76ers have traded for Tobias Harris. So the 76ers add a 20-point-a-night scorer to their quote-unquote big three. I hesitate to call them a big three because they haven't won anything yet. They haven't even made an NBA Finals or an Eastern Conference Finals together. But Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid now have Tobias Harris as well. And the Clippers cut bait because they want to clear the deck for the offseason. They want to clear the deck for multi-max contract offers. And now they get two first-round draft picks from the Sixers. One is protected, one is not. So what the Sixers are doing is we're adding more talent. And look, in the NBA, talent acquisition is of utmost importance. The most talented basketball team almost always wins. And if you are raising your hand in the back of the classroom and saying, DA, but what about the 04 Pistons? They were more of a team and less about stars. Yes, that's now 15 years ago. That's the only example we ever have of the lesser talented team winning an NBA Finals, right? So more than not, almost always, more talent wins the NBA. Thus, the Sixers are stacking talent, and I can understand this. If you are the 76ers and you have Jimmy Butler right now and Ben Simmons right now and Joel Embiid right now, trading away draft picks 2 years from now or 4 years from now does not seem like a big risk. Bringing in Tobias Harris into the middle of that lineup and that offense might. It's already been sticky with how Jimmy Butler has been added and how he has fit in. So there's no guarantee this is just a smooth transition and the Sixers are the best team in the East. Look, the Bucks are really good. And the Raptors are really good. And the Celtics should be really good and seem to be heating up right now. But in the East, adding Tobias to the Sixers, I totally understand why Philly is doing that. More talent, more scoring. Let's see how it works. And it might just go boom. It might explode. But I get why they're doing it. From a Clipper standpoint, Kevin Durant's going to be out there. Hypothetically, Kyrie Irving could be out there. Kawhi could be out there. People are wondering where Anthony Davis will land. And I hear Knicks and Lakers and Nets. Knicks and Lakers and Nets. Knicks, Lakers, Nets. And nobody really brings up the Clippers. And I think they should, because I believe the Clippers are waiting in the weeds, and I like this move a lot by the Clippers. It is where we begin, your cold open.
Tobias Harris at the top of the three-point line, works it right sideline to Lou, who now moves to his left, double-teamed. That leaves Harris open on the wing for three, and the lead, it bounces through! Oh, my goodness! The shooter's touch falls. Tobias Harris with six threes, and the Clippers lead 111 to 110.
It took a lot on us to really scramble and be able to just all rebound at the same time, because, you know, we at that point we were pretty much playing small ball, but it worked, so it was good that it worked.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Clippers radio on the call. That was Tobias Harris after the game, after thinking he was still a member of the Clippers. Hey, let's give Jerry West some major credit here, because Jerry West got two first-round draft picks from the Sixers for Tobias Harris, who was not an all-star and was likely to leave anyway in the offseason. He was likely to sign elsewhere. So how about Jerry West bringing in two firsts for a guy that wasn't even going to stick around and wasn't an all-star? Number two, this is why you have to seriously consider the Clippers this offseason. I look at the New York Knicks and I see dysfunction. I see them trading away Porzingis in a huff. And now we realize they did not do their due diligence to get the best price for him. I see them run by Steve Mills, who has been around that front office ever since the dysfunction has started with James Dolan taking over. I see one of the worst owners in all of professional sports. And yes, they've cleared the deck, but they also have a cold weather city with a franchise front office that has been dysfunctional, has traded away a star already in a huff, in a panic, in whatever, and an owner that has been a lightning rod of controversy. And then I see the Clippers, and I see warm weather, I see the beach, I see Tinseltown, and I see an owner that took over a couple of years ago for Donald Sterling and has said every step of the way, I love this life, I love my job, I love this team, it's a dream come true, I'll do anything it takes for my players. And his executive is not pathetic Steve Mills. His executive is legendary Jerry West. Make no mistake about it. The Clippers are a real deal threat this offseason, with slots for two max contracts and with two firsts coming in there the next couple of years, and Jerry West pulling the strings. Is there more glamour in being a Knicks player and winning in New York than there is for the Clippers? Probably. Yeah, I mean, look, if you win with the Knicks, it's going to be kind of like Mark Messier winning with the Rangers. You will be able to build your entire post-career out of that championship. Except, do you want to walk into one of the most dysfunctional hornet's nests in all of the NBA? Or do you want to go to the sunshine and happiness of Southern California and have Jerry West running the organization and your owner be Steve Ballmer, who is sitting courtside and jumping up and down and getting all excited and spending billions of dollars on his team and being forward-thinking and looking for a new arena instead of old, miserable James Dolan slumped in his seat, hunched over, calling out legends of his organization as drunks on the air? Which one would you rather play for? The Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi, whoever teams up with whoever with the max deals, I think the Clippers are so legitimately a threat in all of this offseason and are waiting in the weeds. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Let's do some football coming up here. The NFL screwed us out of a better Super Bowl. Let's face it, they did. We will discuss coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
value, big upside.
Me and this man together are magical. Write a check, cut the damn check, boop, boop, and we can entertain America. If you want it, write the damn check. Write the damn check.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's all about America. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show on any device at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking. Cap, the wizard of the stream, is back there pulling the levers and the pulleys and have the gerbil on the wheel, making sure that the DA show simulcast is going at watchda.com. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Tweet at me, DA, on CBS to ask that question. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, we were in Atlanta, and let me just restate this. I find it to be one of the greatest gifts of my career to be able to go to Radio Row. I know there are some hosts that don't like it. I realize that they find it to be a meat market. Everybody fighting for the same guests, every guest promoting something else that's silly. I understand that there's a lot of people that don't like it. I love it personally. I love it. It is one of the most rewarding weeks of my year every year, and now I think I've had the chance to do 7 of them. Because, as you know, and I've talked about this before, my first entry point into sports was the Super Bowl. January 1987, 7-year-old DA has watched his dad live and die by the old school New York Giants since they were at Yankee Stadium. And I'm 7 years old and I'm not really all into football. I'm more into playing outside, playing video games in my room, doing 7-year-old stuff, drawing, reading comic books, things like this. But I can tell that this is an important thing for my dad because he's out on a business trip during that Super Bowl and says, Dame, you got to do me a favor. I said, sure. What do you need? He says, you've got to tape the Super Bowl for me. Now, at this point in time, we have that double-decker VCR. Okay, we have this old Sony Trinitron in the old wooden case. That's a giant monstrosity in our living room on wheels. Our TV has its own wheels. And we have the double-decker VCR, one of which is a top loader. And he says, you've got to tape this. Why not ask my mom? Because my mom doesn't know how to use the VCR. I do. I'm 7. I say, okay. All right. It must be important. He goes, I don't know if I'll ever see this in my life again. The Giants are in the Super Bowl. You have to realize in 1986, the Giants had never been to a Super Bowl. The Giants had been crap since the 50s. This was 30 years of misery. I need you to tape this. And so Super Bowl. Okay. This is a big deal. So I sit down that night and I watch Super Bowl 21. Phil Simms has his day of all days. Phil McConkey comes out waving that towel. It's Madden and Summerall, and I'm entranced by this whole thing. It's the Rose Bowl, and it's glittering silver, and it's sun shining, and it's Elway, and Sims, and Bill Parcells, and Dan Reeves, and Summerall, and Madden, and I'm just like, wow. This is like a junkie getting his first hit. I'm never going back. And from that day on, I am all in. I'm watching as much football as humanly possible, and I am totally addicted to the Super Bowl experience. And I watch that tape, that VCR, that VHS tape, on loop for the next 5 years. So when I get to go down to the Super Bowl, it's like 7-year-old DA is in Candyland. I get to talk to Kurt Warner. I get to talk to Jerry Rice. We get to have Rod Woodson on the show. We get Mark Summers on and Adam Richman from Man vs. Food. I am kid in a candy store. So I actually authentically love it. Beyond all love, I love it. But last week, part of the whole scenario was there was a cloud over the week because you couldn't avoid the fact that it felt like the Rams didn't really belong there. that, yes, the Rams had had that last-second comeback in regulation. Yes, they had pulled off the interception in overtime. Yes, Zuerlein had drilled the 57-yarder to win it. And yes, the Rams were a very good team all season long and one of the best teams in football all season long. But that no call on Nickell Robey-Coleman just scarred everything. You could not ignore that. Goodell and the league wouldn't address it. The city of New Orleans was filing lawsuits. You could not ignore just how unsatisfying, dissatisfying it was that the Saints were not there. Then we got that stinker of a Super Bowl. And let me just say this. If you hear anybody, you read anybody, shame you for not appreciating that game. Troll them out. Get them out. Rip up that piece of paper. Delete that. Unfollow that guy. Because I've been watching football now for 32 years. I love defense. I love that 86 Giants defense. I love Lawrence Taylor. I love that 2000 Ravens team. I loved when the Seahawks smashed everybody, including Peyton Manning, en route to that Super Bowl. I love that. I loved the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago, completely shut down Cam Newton. Sunday was not great defense. That no one will ever say, man, that 2018 Patriots defense, that was historically good. We'll never say that. That was garbage quarterbacking with garbage play calling from the Rams and a really good defensive scheme. But anybody that puts Sunday up against Belichick's 90 Super Bowl plan for the Giants against the K-Gun and the Bills is sorry. Anybody that puts that up against his 0-1 game plan against the greatest show on turf is sorry. Because guess what? Those other two offenses he shut down had multiple Hall of Famers and a Hall of Famer at quarterback in their prime. He shut down Jim Kelly in his prime, throwing to Thurman Thomas in his prime, and throwing to Andre Reed in his prime, and throwing to James Lofton in his prime. That's four Hall of Famers on the same offense in their prime. In 2001, he shuts down Kurt Warner in his prime, throwing to Marshall Faulk in his prime, throwing to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt in their prime. Two of those guys already in the Hall of Fame. Orlando Pace also on the offensive line of the Hall of Fame. And Holt and Bruce have been finalists. Jared Goff was a scared fawn out there. He was terrified. He was garbage. He was not Jim Kelly or Kurt Warner in his prime. One day, perhaps he'll be in the Hall of Fame. I doubt it, but perhaps. He was nowhere near the savvy of those two guys. So what you saw on Sunday wasn't great defense. It was a good scheme, but it took advantage of total inexperience from a quarterback that was shell-shocked and an underutilization of the one potential Hall of Famer they might have on there, which is Todd Gurley. But even that's questionable. I think if the New Orleans Saints had been properly gotten the benefit of that pass interference, I think if you have the Saints in the Super Bowl, that game is so much better. Now, I don't know if the Saints' defense could have been nearly as effective against the Patriots as the Rams' defense. The Rams' defense against the Patriots was very good. Very good. And Wade Phillips had a tremendous game plan, and they have talent on their defense. Okay? But I think there is absolutely no way Drew Brees puts up 3 points in a Super Bowl. No way. I know Brees had problems in the postseason. I realize that Brees didn't look great throughout the final 6 weeks of the regular season. But you cannot sell me that if Drew Brees was out there on Sunday, no matter what Brian Flores and Bill Belichick cooked up, it was going to look like that. There's no way he's that nervous. He's that scared. There's no way he pulls out of center not remembering his own snap count for a false start. There's no way he's throwing that high and that low and that wide and taking that many sacks and holding onto the football that long. Look, I don't want to go here because I've gone here enough, but damn it, the Patriots keep getting breaks. Because if they played the Saints in that game, there was going to be a lot more problems than playing the Rams. A lot. And they got the Rams based on a Fugazi, Furkacka, broken, ridiculous, no pass interference. Now, we can go back through how the Saints still had plays to make, and they still needed to stop the Rams, and they still had the ball because they won the coin toss. That's all true. But if the refs do their job in the NFC Championship game, we absolutely have a better Super Bowl, and the Patriots absolutely don't get to score 13 points in a win. There's no chance Brady can be that ineffective, and the Patriots are celebrating a sixth championship if Drew Brees is on the other side. I guarantee you this, 13-3, not the final score with the New Orleans Saints. Now, it could have been 31-28 Patriots. I could see the Patriots scoring a lot on the Saints defense. It could have been 28-24 Patriots. It could have been 28-20 Patriots. But I damn well know this, 13 points was not beating the Saints, and the Saints belonged in that game. Must be nice. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, I want to follow up on that Gurley point. Okay, why wasn't Gurley utilized? Yesterday, exit interviews, Gurley refused to speak to the media, which is really weird considering after the game, Gurley did speak to the media and said it wasn't a big deal that he wasn't utilized that much. So what changed in 48 hours? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
It's 2:30. 2:30. Guys in there in the kitchen. Bing it a bang it a boom dong ding ding ding.
What the hell have you been doing for the last 3 hours?
I was trying to make it fit.
How?
I mean, honestly. Overhead luggage. After a while, you give up, right?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The great Marco Belletti, a.k.a. Marco Bellinelli, with one of the all-time update anchor rants in DA show history.
Bing it a bang it a boom dong ding ding ding.
That's how we all feel after football season is over.
Ding, ding.
Welcome back. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. We are listenable. Catch us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and then also on SiriusXM Channel 206. That's SiriusXM Channel 206. By the way, now that Huge Freeze has been wiped off the face of the earth, never to come back here for the DA show.
Who?
Exactly. There is a void that opens up for a potential star to fill. Could Marco be that guy?
We have room for one more max contract.
Bing it a bang it a boom dong ding ding ding.
I don't know if he could ever be the character that Huge is, but he's really fun on updates because he's a chunky man that admits he's chunky. He seems to have a miserable home life. It sounds like his wife just can't stand him.
I think you're putting words. I think it's his wife. I think it's his mother-in-law situation.
Okay, but isn't there the story that on Thanksgiving that she saved him no leftovers because she basically doesn't care about him?
Yes, but I want this clear. Marco has never blamed that on his wife, but more or less that his wife comes from a family that doesn't understand, you know, to cook more. Apparently they're from a family where, you know, they will count the amount of people there and make that amount of hot dogs, so there's never any leftovers. I think he thinks the family is a disgrace, not his wife.
Because he worked Thanksgiving, and we said, well, at least did your wife have leftovers for you when you came home, and he said, no, she had nothing left over for me from Thanksgiving.
I believe the quote was, I had whatever was scraped off somebody else's plate that was going in a garbage.
Yeah. So I just thought, he's always talking about he doesn't get any sleep, that basically his wife doesn't cook for him. I always just thought that he had a miserable home life, no?
He seems to love his wife. Again, I think this is the other family. It's too close to his wife's family. They move close to him. It's a lot of problems.
I see. So
I think he threw the father-in-law out because he was talking too much while he was trying to sleep.
Yeah, there's always like a sad story in his life about something, not sleeping, getting evicted, no leftovers. There's always something.
With Marco, it's that old Al Pacino, you know, one-inch speech from Any Given Sunday. Marco's always an inch too short in everything with his life.
Didn't he sleep on the hardwood floor, too, with the window open?
Yes. I think, didn't he move and the movers, like, got lost and he had no furniture and had to sleep on the hardwood floor?
He had literally nothing and he just took an old raggedy blanket out of his car and slept on the hardwood floor and no blinds, so everybody looked like he was homeless sleeping in it.
He was sleeping on the ground floor of an apartment or a house.
On a busy road, he
said.
On a
busy road. Asleep with nothing except a little blanket, ratty blanket, on his floor. And everybody passing by the sidewalk looked in the window, the picture window. There's no blinds. And thought that some homeless guy had crashed, was squatting in this house.
Marco the squatter.
Who is this man?
Also, Marco, when he does updates, hates the simulcast, hates that there's cameras on, because he loves coming in the Marco costume, which is jeans from the early 2000s or so, and a black graphic tee. Maybe it's Goodfellas, maybe it's Scarface, maybe it's
Leonard Skinner from time to time.
Exactly. It's a band from the 70s or 80s. There could be a Whitesnake in there. A flannel over that, usually a red flannel.
Unbuttoned,
so you can see the graphic tee. And the rattiest, dirtiest Yankees hat ever fitted. Ever.
Purchased in 1995.
It is so ratty, and I say, why don't you just wash that? And he's like, oh, it fits good. Fits really good. I don't want to wash it. So this is the tapestry of Marco Belletti. So he could be a character. But I don't know, Mraz. We have space for a max contract now with Hugh Freeze gone. Do we reach out to his representation?
You could reach out, but again, I think you have to talk to other people because Marco is like a Tobias Harris, but there could be a Kevin Durant out there. So you don't want to just give away money to give away money. It's got to be the right fit.
Okay.
But we might have to settle. We might have to settle on Marco.
A multitude of different ideas.
Can I just wish a happy birthday to who I believe is the greatest living ball player, and Hank Aaron. Yesterday, Hammer and Hank turned 85 years old. And I remember, a long time ago, growing up, I always found it interesting that Joe DiMaggio was introduced everywhere he went as greatest living ball player. Introduced at All-Star Games, introduced at Old Timers Day, introduced at alumni gatherings, introduced anywhere. It was greatest living ball player Joe DiMaggio. And I said, that's kind of a cool title. And I always felt like, wow, when he passes away, what happens? Who becomes greatest living ball player, right? So I would imagine that Babe Ruth was greatest living ball player until his death. And that we kind of passed that along, that there's a torch. And what I found out was that is not kind of an unofficial title that we bestow upon somebody. I found out that Joe DiMaggio was so protective of his reputation that he mandated if he was going to show up at an event that you had to introduce him this way. He was so protective of what his reputation was and of his legacy. And this is a guy that I totally respect who was asked once, you know, why he was running out ground balls in the ninth inning of a blowout. And he said, you never know when a kid in the stands, this is the first time they've ever seen me, which is a pretty cool idea and concept. Do everything 100%, especially if you are playing in front of fans or an audience, because you never know when that's the only time or the first time they'll ever see you. But I didn't realize that he had kind of had this contractually obligated to say when he was introduced. Because when Joe DiMaggio passed away, there is no doubt, it's either Willie Mays or Hank Aaron right now. You can make the case for either one because Willie Mays was so dominant defensively, so outrageously, unbelievably dominant defensively that maybe it's Willie. But Hank Aaron's stats are just so ridiculous. And so I want to take this time to say happy birthday, 85th birthday yesterday to Hank Aaron. Because I just want to take this moment to reset how stupid his numbers are. We all know the big one, 755 home runs, okay, 755, which is the record, let's face it, because Barry Bonds did it doing steroids, but 755. He also was not just a power hitter. He had 3,771 hits. Meaning, you could take away all of his home runs, he still had 3,000 hits. Think about this. He is the second all-time home run record. You could take every home run away, he has 3,000 hits. That's totally insane. So he is not only the greatest power hitter arguably ever, but he's also one of the greatest hitters in general ever. He's an iconic, legendary hitter. He has a 305 lifetime batting average. 305, wasn't just a home run hitter. He hit over 300 for his career, and that included the ugly late years where he was on the Milwaukee Brewers. He also was a 25-time All-Star. Let that sink in. He made the All-Star game 25 times. A quarter of a century he was in the All-Star game. And at a time where nobody got in to the Hall of Fame unanimously, he got 98% of the vote. By every metric, Hank Aaron is the most remarkable baseball player, perhaps ever, but certainly one of. And right now, he's the greatest living ball player, and we should assign him that title. Happy 85th birthday to the greatest living ball player, Hammerin' Hank Aaron. Okay, with that out of the way, Todd Gurley. I got real question marks on this, because Todd Gurley, after the Super Bowl, says all the right things. Hey, there's only one football. Hey, I don't blame Coach McVay for using me that way. No big deal. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. And now, the day after the season ends, they have exit interviews, and the team will now scatter for the offseason. And Todd Gurley refuses to talk to the media. So what changed? What changed? I have always thought that not utilizing him in the NFC Championship game more, and then not utilizing him in that game in the Super Bowl more, was about more than his health. And I think this underscores that. I think this is a pretty good piece of evidence. I don't know if Sean McVay and Gurley are at odds. I don't know if McVay was upset with Gurley. I don't know if Gurley took something lightly or not seriously or got into trouble behind closed doors. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense to me that after the Super Bowl, Gurley is saying, no big deal. Hey, there's only one football. You know what's going to happen. I don't blame my coach for doing that. And then after that, refuses to speak to the media. The best case scenario, the least conspiracy theory on the spectrum, is that Gurley, after the game, didn't realize just how few touches he got, was kind of in the throes of being disappointed and sad, and was in this kind of team concept and team atmosphere, and everybody was bummed out, and he did not want to be, he did not feel at that moment that it was some type of huge crime. He looked at 3 points on the board. He saw Goff had a bad day. He saw C.J. Anderson had a bad day. He saw everybody had a bad day. He just felt like he was one of everybody that had a bad day. And then 48 hours later, after reading and hearing and seeing social media and talk radio and reading things on the internet and people probably in his ear and his whoever, friends, family, agent, hearing everybody say, they screwed you. They underutilized you. Why didn't they give you more touches? Suddenly got it. That, hey, I got screwed, or felt I got screwed, and then didn't want to fan the fire, didn't want to fan the flame, and that he just, after hearing everybody else say he got screwed, started feeling like he got screwed. But I got to tell you, the fact that Sean McVay would continue to put the ball in Goff's hands to make plays and not do everything possible to get Todd Gurley, the highest paid offensive player on the team, the ball in every possible space, is total head scratching. And I think the fact that Gurley didn't speak yesterday speaks to there is something up behind the scenes that nobody is talking about. and that he feels burned by it, and he doesn't want to talk about it, and McVay won't talk about it. They're keeping it in-house, but it certainly was something that deterred McVay from using Gurley because it's the Super Bowl. How can you not use your best offensive weapon, especially when your quarterback is straight trash? Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. When we return, are the Eagles screwing Nick Foles? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.